Hello, I'm Christine Pulsford and I'm the director of BookAid Charitable Trust in the UK.
Christine, thanks for being with us today on the Stone Chapel.
Great to meet you, David.
It's great to be here in London and sitting in your place of business in a way and your mission that you have. And I want to find out more about what you're up to and how long you've been up to it and started with your parents before you and all of those kind of wonderful details. But first of all, who is Christine Pulsford?
Well, what a good question. You gave me a little bit of warning.
A little bit of warning, but not enough, probably. No.
Well, at the moment, I think I'm BookAid. That's who I am, Christine at BookAid.
Okay.
But in my previous existence, I was a teacher and...
What subjects?
I used to teach French and German.
Oh, so you can read a lot of the books here. The titles.
And then after I did that for a few years, I trained to be a lawyer. So I have 25 years behind me as a lawyer.
So if I get in trouble while I'm in the UK, then I can call you and you can help me.
Well, I specialised in family law, so I hope that you won't need my services.
No, I probably won't. I probably won't. So you're a lawyer in addition to being now a director of BookAid. So tell me about BookAid. What is it exactly? What's the mission here?
So 35 years ago, my parents were at the point of retirement from their full-time Christian work, except that they would have not thanked me for using the word retirement because they didn't believe in that. And they had started BookAid as a kind of retirement thing. Dad had been involved in Christian ministry, in literature ministry, for all his working life.
Is that here in London?
In the UK.
In the UK.
And then internationally, working with Christian Literature Crusade, which is an international literature ministry. And he was asked by some Africans to help them. They didn't have enough books. They couldn't afford the new books. And they said to him one day, look, we'd even have your second-hand books. So as a result of that, he said, OK, well, we'll collect some secondhand books that have been used. And in the boot of his car, they started collecting books that were donated by a few people. Well, we're 35 years on from that now, and BookAid now has this huge warehouse, and we have a second warehouse, and we have some shops around the country. And this has just grown and grown and grown as we've seen God just have his hand upon the ministry.
So people donate books to you. Is that how it all begins?
Yeah.
Okay. And then what happens to books that are donated?
Well, they devised a system. So there are many Christian books that have been written over the years, and some of
There's a few, yes.
And some of them are not so good.
Yes, indeed.
So the books that come in, they can come in any condition, or we go through every single book that's donated and we decide what the destination for this book could be. So most of our books we are trying to send to partners in Africa, and the ones that we don't send might be because they're in poor condition, in which case we will recycle them, or we'll sell them in our UK shops to try and raise funds to support the overseas shipping ministry.
So the main mission would be then to supply these good Christian books to places in Africa.
Yeah.
What are some? Where are some of your partners?
Well, we have a BookAid based in Kenya. BookAid Kenya Mission is one of our offshoots. The 25th year project of BookAid was to found a work in Kenya that was BookAid based. But we've sent to, 19 countries, I think, over the 35 years. And currently we're sending to Ghana, Nigeria, Kenya. I've forgotten where the last container went.
Yeah, I remember walking through the warehouse and seeing Kenya written there and Nigeria here and such. So the need for Christian books sounds fairly immense as we've talked, because there's not many publishers of Christian books, I suppose, in Africa, or they're not well funded enough to get their books out.
Well, I think the founding principle of BookAid was to make books available at locally affordable prices to Christians and to help sustain Christian bookshops. And that was the problem, that my dad could see that Christian bookshops just couldn't sustain over a long period. And so what he felt was that this was a great way of helping them to keep going for the long haul.
Mm-hmm.
The idea being that they would sell the books at locally affordable prices, and therefore they would have a salary for the owner of the shop, and they would be able to pay their bills. And, you know, so the cycle goes on, and they keep being able to sell books.
Provide for their families,
absolutely,
you know, in their countries, yeah, and such. The books that come in that are highly sort of academic, and I don't know how many of those, what percentage of them are, but what do you do with those books that are pretty academic and maybe wouldn't be suitable for sending to Nigeria or Kenya or Ghana?
Well, there's many books that we would think weren't suitable for sending abroad. Some of them are culturally completely inappropriate or very UK-based, so we wouldn't send those. And some of the more academic books wouldn't fit with some of our partners. There are those who would appreciate them. But those we'll sell online and sell them again at affordable prices in the UK. So
you're selling some books, I hear, on Amazon, right?
We are, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I think earlier Rob said about 46,000 books, something like that,
that's right,
are currently available up there. And that's part of what your staff is doing. Yeah. And you use those funds to help with the mission of providing. So do you have other funding other than what you're able to generate? Do you have people? I mean, because you're a charitable organization,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So do people donate? Do churches donate? Do individuals donate?
They do. And one of the things that Book Aid didn't do was go out and ask for funding. That was one of its principles, that we wouldn't ask people, but we would wait to see God move individuals to support the ministry. And the stories are fantastic.
Mm.
It's just wonderful. And can I tell you another story?
Please.
So when I first...
I love stories.
When I first came, my parents were really elderly, and I'd come because I could see there was going to be a problem as they got older.
Now, were you a director at that time?
No, or nothing to do with it.
Okay.
I was a daughter.
Okay.
I was
a lawyer daughter
who was saying, Dad, come on, you need to think about the future.
Yeah.
And he just thought he could keep going forever.
My dad did too.
Did he?
Yeah.
and he loved every bit of Book Aid. He was just passionate about it. So I came and I managed to get a year's career break from my employer. I said to them, look, I've got this issue with my family and I think they need some help. They gave me a year to come and help sort this out. And I could see financially things hadn't really gone well in the last year. Things had gone really wonderfully well up to that point. And I was scratching my head and saying, Lord, help me to see where we can go from this point forward. Well, one day I'd said to Dad, look, the whole building is enormous. Do we really need all of this?
That's the building we're in now.
This building.
In London.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I had met the neighbour on this industrial estate, which is a steel fabrication business. And I thought, you know, I'm going to ask them if they know of anybody who might want to use part of our building. So I came into work that Monday morning and the team were praying. And they said to me as I walked in, they said, oh, the man from next door has been over to visit. And I said to them, what do you mean he's been over to visit? I said, I was going to go and see him this morning. I said, what have you said to him? And they said he came in wondering if he could rent any of the building.
Wow.
I said, but that's exactly what I was going to ask him about. Well, within 6 weeks, this guy had divided the building, because we didn't have the money to divide the building up, to let half of it.
Oh, I see.
He said, I'll pay for all of that. And within 6 weeks, he was in and paying us rent.
Wow.
Five years later, he is still here, and we have the best relationship with this enormous guy who is what we call the Jeff the Steel Man.
Ah.
And it has been wonderful to watch him grow spiritually as he comes in sometimes and asks us for prayer. It's a fabulous relationship, but you would never have thought that the Lord would have provided all this steel outside.
I saw that as I walked up. the right half of the building, steel fabrication, left half of the building,
book aid.
Mm. And I loved it. I thought that was great. Great use of the space.
So that's been a real provision. So all through the COVID lockdowns, he paid rent, kept on working. Mm. And we just thank God for the fact that he provided Jeff next door. So that's another income stream for us.
Well, you have people who are employees here, yes. But you also have a group of volunteers.
We do, yeah.
Yeah. What do they help you do when they come in?
Well, I haven't told you, David, but
uh-oh.
The volunteers that you thought we might talk about in the warehouse are only a small part of the volunteers that we have. We have a network of collection points all over the UK that my father had set up. We have over 140 collection points.
Wow.
These are all volunteers. These are people who offer a garage or a room in their house or a shed or a farm building or we have, you know, a farmer who gives us his barns in London.
Wow.
So all these people contribute to the work of Book Aid. And it's just fantastic to
and
see
so
these people.
You have 140 collection points. And that, does that include Ireland as well?
Yes, it does.
Okay, because yeah. you have part of your business is in mission is in Ireland.
Yeah, I don't like using the word business.
Well, it's not really. I was thinking business. I realize. So, what word do you prefer?
We prefer mission or ministry.
Ministry. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Because that's what it is. So you have all of these people contributing in some way. People contributing books, but also people who are collecting those, providing space in their homes until. You collect them, and then they come here, or they go to Belfast, or they go elsewhere in the UK. And then there are volunteers that, like Rob, who is here in the with us. Who helps put together and helps you sort and figure things out that you need to know for where does this book really belong? Mm. Where would be the best use of this book in the future?
That's exactly right.
Right.
And I have to say that some of the volunteers were of my parents' generation and have kept going sorting books, and it's a wonderful exercise for the elderly to unpack boxes of books.
They need something to do too,
right? They need something to do,
yeah.
Yes. But some of them have reached their 90s. You know, we've had people unpacking books here in their 90s. It's phenomenal. That generation is moving on through, and so we do need the next generation to come through.
Okay, so you need some people recently retired to...
Recently retired are great.
I like that, yeah.
And
young people, too. It seems like it'd be great to have young people who could come in and just be around and see and experience and understand what the mission here really is all about.
It is, yeah.
Yeah. I first came to know about your work through Rob here, Rob. Has become a friend over the last year or two.
Yes.
And he's the librarian at Spurgeon's College.
Yeah.
And we did an earlier podcast talking about theology on the web.
That's right.
So we're gonna reference that back in the show notes.
Thank you.
So that folks. But really quickly, tell us what you do with theology on the web, and then we're gonna say something about how you work together with Book Aid.
Well, It, in a sense, the theology on the web has its inspiration through my connection with Book Aid. It provides free of charge digitized theological books and articles with the idea that wherever you are in the world, you can have access to a world-class library if you've got an internet connection. And it's all free of charge. And the inspiration of that was through my connection with Bob Hiley and Book Aid originally. So.
And you've been at that now for a number of years.
That's right. Yeah. I've been in my connection with Book Aid goes back over 30 years, but for the last 21 years, I've been running Theology on the Web and many of the material, the materials and books and articles that I've digitised have come from BookAid, the film, the books and articles that have been donated, which I've digitised and then passed on again.
So at this point, how much have you digitised? How many books, how many journals?
I've got over 50,000 articles online from over 90 different journals, and at this point, about 400 or 500 books. Books is a project I started after the articles, so there's still an awful lot more to do. And I sought the hardback books here, so quite often I come across books and I see them. I think, oh, I could make that available free. I could take this one book, and potentially a million people could read it.
Wow. That's exactly right. I mean, because it would be completely available on the internet at that point.
That's right.
So what's the future of BookAid?
Well, the future is in God's hands. And what's so interesting is that when Rob came on board as a trustee, we didn't know what the future was going to be. And as my father was ill, it looked like we would maybe need to finish BookAid. But we laugh now, don't we?
We do.
We absolutely laugh because BookAid is just growing without us even trying. And the joy that
earlier
it brings.
Earlier you said flourishing.
Yes.
Do you feel like you're flourishing here now?
Absolutely.
Yes. The trustee meetings are so exciting because you can see, oh, we had this problem last time, but it has been solved in a way that we never expected this time.
That's exciting.
And you know, it is really exciting to work for BookAid.
Well, you know, so many people now have recognized that the center of gravity of Christianity has moved. It's not so much in Europe and North America anymore. It's moved to the majority of the world, to places like Africa and South America and Asia. And we have this wealth of knowledge and books here. And it just seems right that you have stepped up to do this work at this particular time. Was it 35 years ago now it started?
It started 35 years ago, yes. Yeah. I've been involved for the last seven.
Yeah.
And one of the other stories that I love is just around that time when we thought that we might be having to face closure at this handover time. I had said to the trustees, if we go below the reserve price, then I will seriously look at closing BookAid. And we came within £3,000 of that. And we were asked to provide a container of books to a partner in Nigeria. And we said to her, we don't know that we're going to have the money to ship these to you. But in the warehouse, we decided, look, we've got the books. Even if we haven't got the money, we'll ship these books out. And even if that's our last act as BookAid, we will just give them. And we really felt like the widow who was just pouring the oil and waiting to see what would happen. We sent the books, and I just tentatively said to the partner, do you know what, if you ever felt that when you received them, you wanted to make a gift to us, we would be really happy to receive that. But if you don't have the wherewithal, that's fine. Just take the books and use them. So we sent these books. Then that story I told you previously about the Steel Man happened.
Yeah.
In the January, that partner sent us a gift of £2,000. And we absolutely loved that our African partners were giving to the work
back
into the UK, and we were just rejoiced at that.
That is fantastic.
And so, yeah, it's a great blessing. So it became a two-way thing, that we're supporting them and they are supporting what
you.
We're doing. Yeah.
So if people want to know more about BookAid, how do they do that?
Well, we've got a website called bookaid.org, book-aid.org. You need to put the hyphen in.
Okay. Book-aid.org. Is that .org UK or
just
.org?
Just .org.
Okay, there you go.
And that will tell you a bit about the history, and it will give you information about what we do currently. And if you wanted to give to the work to support it, we wouldn't say no. So
right.
You could do it there as well.
And I may show up next time and have my overalls on and say, help me, I'll help you sort some books next time I'm here.
David, we might let you spend a little longer in the shop next time.
Oh, good.
Rather than the whistle stop tour that you have to do today.
I know, I went through, they've got some amazing books in the shop that's open on Thursdays, and Thursdays only, and pastors come in and others come in and church leaders come in and buy books. But I tell you, I saw a lot of really cool stuff in there, stuff that I think we might need at our library in Yarnton one of these days, but that's for another day, I guess.
and all sold at locally affordable prices.
Absolutely, locally affordable. Great to be with you both today, Rob, Christine. Thanks for being with us on the Stone Chapel.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you. Lovely to meet you.
Thanks to Janet Seifert and Kathy Capes for helping us produce this podcast. Jocelyn Solis is responsible for promoting the Stone Chapel podcast on all of our social media. Thanks to Phil Keggy for our music. These podcasts are made possible by the generosity of Mark and Becky Lanier and the Lanier Foundation. If you have questions or comments or just want to be in touch, email us at podcast@lanierlibrary.org. That's podcast@lanierlibrary.org. Lanier is L-A-N-I-E-R. Thanks for listening.